says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women moan boys raised on shotguns. We say grace and we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. We came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45.
Welcome.
Country boy can survive.
Country Welcome to the show, folks. I have no idea what beech nut tastes like, chewing beech nut. I don't think I ever will. Anyway, it's a good lyric. Love to spit some beech nut in that dude's eye. Boy, how do you come up with song lyrics like that? Anyway, Hank Williams Jr. and Merle Haggard, the two main singers here in the theme music that we use. Welcome. You're in tune with the Trump phenomenon here on September 23rd, 2019. I'm James Kelso up here in North Dakota, and all of this is being beamed out to you through the good offices of the Republic Broadcasting Network based in Round Rock, Texas. That's where you've been sending all your support for all these years, and keep that support coming for Patriot Radio. What John Stadtmiller has set up is not just a podcast. It's a network. It's a real broadcast headquarters there in Round Rock with real engineers. If you want to talk to one of those engineers, you can do so at 800-313-9443. That's the call-in number. And that's also the number to call into the studio. The contribution that you want to make to RBN is of such a size that you think maybe you'll need to have personal contact between your banker and RBN's banker to do the large-scale wire transfer that you have contemplated, then that would be a number to call. contributions over, let's say, $500,000. You'll have to get in line, though. You have to take a number. The lines are full. Anyway, I'm just kidding. Of course, if you want to contribute $5, it's needed. Very important is make your contributions regular. If it's a small contribution once a month, that's great. It's a great way to help the Patriot cause. Well, here at the Trump Phenomenon, we are enlisted in, I think, the grandest Patriot cause we've ever had a chance. You know, we've all had a chance to enlist in various things, some Second Amendment group, a First Amendment group, a Tea Party type thing. You know, I've been part of various things. I was once very active in the John Birch Society, then I was part of the Ron Paul Revolution. I was up to my eyeballs in that. And now I find myself, what's the Frank Sinatra song? And now, va-dee-da-do. I did it my way. Well, whatever. In the sun, in my sunset years, twilight years, whatever they are. You know, I just realized today I'm 71, but Pocahontas, you know, she looks pretty darn good for 70 years old. So she's actually Donald Trump's peer. She's not really younger than Donald Trump. So maybe we'll talk a little bit tonight about Elizabeth Herring, H-E-R-R-I-N-G, is her maiden name. Born in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. As Merle Haggard sang it, we don't smoke marijuana in Muskogee. the lyrics to that song, Okie from Muskogee, wonderful. Anyway, here in my twilight years, I find myself fully enlisted in the Trump revolution, the Trump era. I think this is the bestest and the mostest that I've ever had a chance to participate in. I think Donald Trump's really got the best rendition of our Patriot cause that's come around in my lifetime. So I'm really pleased to be able to, very honored to be able to host a radio show dedicated to the Trump Phenomenon. So let us begin. I gave the date, September 23rd. What else? Did I miss anything? Call a number. You got that. We're all set. It's a live show. Looking forward to your calls. Let's see here. Donald Trump, of course, the story, the expanding story. I think it's a great story. We got the Joe Biden story, the Elizabeth Warren Herring story. And Warren was her first husband, and she kept that name. She's married to her second husband now, has two children. She spent much of her life registering as a Republican. I didn't know that. And so she's kind of a strange bird. Where did this Indian ancestry thing come from? It's a strange person that does that. And she definitely was trying to help herself to get on the faculty at Harvard. She had a long ways to go to get on the faculty. She's the first tenured professor there, as a measure of what I'm talking about. The people on the faculty at Harvard tend to be insiders who have gone to the Ivy League schools and have been, you know, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours, kind of a insider promotions. But she was an outsider who came in from the first tenured professor at Harvard from a public college or university. I forget which one she went to. I think George Washington University at some point. But that's not actually a public school, is it? I'll look it up. We'll look at her bio. But she was coming in from the outside, so she needed to give herself a leg up to get on the faculty at Harvard. So in her fevered mind, she came up with, I'm an Indian. And I think there are already some jokes circulating now about if she were to be elected. Of course, heaven forbid, she's not going to be elected president. But were she to be elected, we could have fun with the fact that when the band breaks out into Hail the Chief, and then everybody can get out their styrofoam tomahawk and go and bang on the hood of their car, you know. I'm not big on my, you know, and I'm, please, I'm not making fun of American Indians. I think I really, I'll give a little salute to American Indians here in a moment. But you got to have fun, and you got to be able to laugh at yourself. And I'm sure this is true for American Indians as well as us. us non-American Indians, like Pocahontas. you know, and speaking of, you know, I'm not up on my Indian war chants. But I hope that catches on. I hope that at Trump rallies and stuff, somehow or somewhere, those of us who are allowed to have fun with these things can do that. I don't think Donald Trump is going to be much free to do that. I think he's going to have to kind of back off a little bit so he doesn't get too... Could they savage him more in the media? But anyway, if I want to get up on my Indian recipes, I certainly can turn to Elizabeth Herring Warren, Pocahontas, because she's got a cookbook out in which she's made a contribution in there. She contributed a recipe to Pow Wow Chow. Hey. maybe Hunter Biden with his $1.5 billion could contribute a recipe of how now, pow wow chow. I don't know, is that Chinese? I don't know. But I wonder what her recipe is in pow wow chow. Boy, is that a goofy title. So let us see here. Mike in California, are you ready to go on the air, Mike?
Yes. Hi, Mr. Kelso. It's good to talk to you again. I'm sorry to get you off track, but I was curious what you thought of basically the potential of getting away from a fake intersectional candidate to actually a real intersectional candidate. And I was thinking...
Well, now, hold on just a second. Mike, hang on. I was born in 1948, so please tell me, what is an intersectional candidate? Well, first of all, what is the definition of the adjective intersectional?
Well, the way I understand it is the intersection of race and gender, and since you know, Pocahontas would be a Native American, supposedly, and she's a female, she would be, she basically fits the intersection of these two places. And so what I was thinking was, a dream team for me would be Trump and Tulsi Gabbard, because Tulsi Gabbard is actually, you know, an intersectional candidate. She's a female, and she's a Hindu, and she's anti-war, and she took down Kamala Harris during the debate spectacularly. And so I absolutely love her, and because it would create so much cognitive dissonance.
I didn't know she was a Hindu. I guess then she's of Indian ancestry.
I believe she's of Indian ancestry. I could be wrong. She might have just adopted the Hindu faith, and she could be white. But she is Hindu. Yeah, as far as I know.
Okay.
Keep
talking. Keep talking. I'll look her up while you're talking.
Yeah, please. If you have time, there's a 2-hour interview with her on the Joe Rogan podcast. You can find that on YouTube. There's actually a couple of them where she goes in depth into her anti-war stance and her life and her plans for what she wants the American republic to be. And you know, she's got a lot of military experience. She's still in the National Guard Reserve or the Air Force Guard Reserve. I might be misremembering it, but she, you know, she's got the bona fides, and it would be an awesome team, Trump Gabbard. But I was just curious what you thought, whether that would be a good thing or not. And also, I had a great troll that Trump could do to get the liberals to sign on to the Second Amendment, if you wanted to hear that.
Okay. Yes.
Okay, let me load this up. All right, let me load this up here. It's basically, it would be a four-part troll on Twitter. So Trump, step one, Trump goes on Twitter and says, I'm going to completely ban guns from transgender individuals, period, because they have a high suicide rate and gender dysphoria is a real disease. And then basically say, for their own good, I'm going to take their guns. And then he pauses for about 3 or 4 hours. That's step two. Step three, he comes back on Twitter, and then he quote-unquote does a 180 and says, okay, I've listened to you guys. I'm going to go ahead and let transgender individuals have their guns. And then he pauses again for a couple of hours, lets the liberals, you know, rejoice. And he says, oh, but there's this thing called equal protection under the law. It's the 14th Amendment. Okay, looks like we have to give the guns to everybody. And then you kind of force the liberals into agreeing with you because they've already been so, you know, vociferous in their defending of transgender individuals having guns, because they would, just because Trump said no, they would say yes. And
okay.
there you have it, victory.
Okay.
What do you think?
All right, well, Mike, I did look up Tulsi Gabbard, and she she was born in American Samoa. Who are her parents? She became the first Samoan American and the first Hindu member of Congress. She's a Democrat from Hawaii. And she is born to Mike Gabbard and Carol Porter. Her father, she was raised in a multicultural and multi-religious household. Her father is of Samoan and European ancestry, and an active lector in the Catholic Church. Her mother, born in Decatur, Indiana, is of German descent and a practicing Hindu. So her mother looks like a New Age kind of person, because Decatur, Indiana, German descent, there's nothing, there's no Hindu in that. So she must be a hippie who took up Hinduism. Gabbard chose Hinduism as her religion while she was a teenager. And let's see, what was that thing about his father? His father's Catholic. So she's got a real, yeah, as you say, transsectional. A real transsectional deal there. Although her dad being of Samoan and European ancestry, her mother from Decatur of German, she's probably three quarters white. And interesting individual. Now, as to your idea for a running mate for Donald Trump, you got to think that Mike Pence is going to be the running mate. And so I don't think that's going to be an open question. I think it'll just be presumed that Mike Pence, it's not necessarily presumed that Mike Pence would be the favorite candidate going into 2024. There might be somebody else like Donald Trump Jr., somebody like Jim Jordan of Ohio. There are some very interesting people there. Well, Mike, there in California, thank you for your call as always.
All right, thank you, sir. Have a good day.
You too.
The dust and the smoke of this man-made hell.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back, folks.
The miners knew well, grabbed a sagging timber and gave out with a groan, and like a giant oak tree, just stood there alone, Big John. Big John.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank-you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Another caller, Sue, you're on the air.
Yeah, it's that boy named Sue. How do you do?
Hey, Robert.
How are you doing? Yeah, I got a quick question for you here. I've been looking into this with Elizabeth Warren and her gaining in the polls on the Democratic side. Now, I hate to, like, you know, kind of scare everybody with this, but what happens if she actually wins, guys? I'm kind of worried about this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, that's, you know, I was much more worried that Trump could be defeated, you know, half a year ago. The that would have depended, for that to have occurred, the Democrats would have had to nominate somebody. I'll give you an example. I shouldn't even say this. I don't want to give the demon rats ideas. But there's this young, is he a congressman? Joe Kennedy of Massachusetts. He's handsome. He's a Kennedy. I have no idea how goofy his ideas are. But he's the kind of John F. Kennedy Democrat that the Democrats used to be able to win with. And had they come up with somebody like that to oppose Donald Trump, I was worried. But they
to answer your question,
what if she wins? I don't think.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. If somebody with the goopy ideas that Elizabeth Warren has espoused can win, We've got a lot of things to worry about. If somebody as goofy as she is can win. So I'm very confident Trump will win in 2020. But to answer your question, what if any of the demon rats were to win? What if Trump loses? Where do we go? What do we do? Okay, I can answer part of that. If Trump were to lose on November 3rd, 2020, I would consider myself, I would be front and center, ready to sign up in the Trump movement with Trump as my leader in the Trump movement. And I would hope that Donald Trump, after having been defeated in the national election, would then just step right into position as the leader of the Trump movement. And we would see where he would.
Well, that's what we would do. I really appreciate that. You know, that seems like a pretty good idea. But can I give you just a little piece of my own opinion here about the Trump movement?
Sure.
Okay, I don't think the Trump movement actually needs a leader. It's an idea. And if we happen to lose our leader, we need to preserve the idea and move forward with it with appropriate action. And I do mean appropriate action. You know, it's about time that somebody started standing up and realizing that our country is all but lost right now. I mean, they're coming after our First Amendment, our Second Amendment, our Fourth Amendment. They've already gotten through with a bunch of others. And everything that our government represents these days is so corporatized and taxed that bears no resemblance to anything we ever had.
Yeah, Robert, in theory, a movement doesn't have to have a leader. In theory, that's correct. In practice, it doesn't work out. And one of the reasons that having no leader doesn't work out is that you're guaranteed if you have no leader, what you end up with is 100 or 20 different leaders contending.
Yeah, no,
with
I know
each
the
other.
Old saying, too many chiefs and not enough Indians. No, I've heard that a million times. You know, the thing
so
is
that's
that
my
I'm not
fear.
Talking
my
about.
Fear. Yeah, but hang on, I'll give you oh, more.
Ahead.
I like
go
what
ahead.
You're saying. What if Trump loses? Let's think about that. Be ready. You know, be ready for the worst. I like that idea. If Trump loses on November 3rd, we'll be doing this show. I guess it'll be a Tuesday. So Tuesday night, we'll be talking about it. It'll probably be a close election if he loses. And there we will be with no President Trump. And then I will just
Go ahead.
I will be, along with millions of other Trump enthusiasts, I will be urging Donald Trump to stay on as the leader of his movement and to lead us, to chart a course for us. And of course, we're not robots. We're not dumb bunnies. We know where we want to go on all the important issues. But he would give us, let's say, organizational coherence. He would give us the way a commander, everybody in the Patton's Third Army knew they wanted to win, but they needed a commander to give that will to win coherence. And so that's what a leader does. That's what this this Prime Minister Modi was complimenting about Donald Trump in his speech yesterday in Houston. He said that he has a tremendous sense of leadership. He said, I admire President Trump. That was amazing just to hear that. Donald Trump just about fell over. You can see he was really amazed. I admire Donald Trump, he said to the 50,000 roaring Indians, speaking of things Hindu and things Tulsi Gabbard. And he said, among the things about him that I admire is his sense of leadership. So I would be begging Donald Trump to please continue as our leader in the Trump movement. And then if we have President Biden or President Warren or anybody else, it's going to be...
I'm sorry, you made me puke a little bit in the back of my mouth, just a little bit when you said that.
I'm sorry. So now, go ahead. You had a thought going that I interrupted. Go ahead.
Well, it's just a final closing thought. I mean, if we have to really reflect on the truth of the possibility of somebody not Trump winning the electoral vote, then I think it would really do us all well to, sit back and reflect on that for an evening. I mean, really chew on it for a while and think about what that means. And I think that really needs to motivate us towards the voting booth, because I know there are a lot of people out there that just didn't show up, or they were too busy, or they were working, or, yeah, okay, guys, I've heard all the excuses, every one of them. I came up with my own a few years. Let's just all get out there. I mean, if we all don't get involved, we're looking at a really bad situation happening.
Yeah,
I don't know how else to put it.
Yeah, Trump himself has used your exact motivational technique there. In many of his speeches, he said, hey, if he says, you have to vote for me. If you don't vote for me, you're going to see a stock market crash and an economy. Moreover, more importantly, the whole economy, you're going to see a crash like you've never seen before. And so that's one thing.
I hate to think that Trump is getting ahead of himself, but actually I believe that we're looking at that anyway, and I don't even think he's going to be able to save us from it. So maybe everybody should reflect on that a little bit too. He is the good guy here. He is really trying his best. He's got his work cut out for him. He's made a few bad decisions that I completely disagree with, but I think that he was doing it with the best of intentions and the worst of educational information.
Well,
so
let me give you
know, when it comes down to the end of it,
let me give you a metaphor for why I think Donald Trump is really, we're not facing actually a crash, and Trump is going to be able to keep booming the economy. And I'll use an example that also demonstrates what a dummy Kelso is.
Do you know how much the Fed is pumping into the banks right now, every day until the middle of October right now?
No, I don't. How much?
Some $90 billion a day, per day, per day. They're bailing out the banks right now as we speak. This is going on until the middle of October. Look it up.
Okay.
Look it up.
All right. But let me go back to my example here of why I think Trump will be very much continue to be successful and why he's really just getting started. I once had an 82, I can't remember the year, of my old Camaro, but it was a neat looking car and so on. But anyway, I was what a dummy. I drove it from Santa Monica to Mandeville, Louisiana. And I, just before I left, I knew I needed to service my brakes, but I was in too much of a rush. So I hopped in the car and took off for Louisiana. Well, the brakes were dragging on this car, the front brakes. So I'm going to get to my point here, which is Donald Trump's job. One reason he's going to be successful is we're riding the brakes. You've all heard that word, riding the brakes. You know, people that let their foot rest lazily on the brake pedal. You'll go for mile after mile after mile. You're just lightly tapping the brakes. And what's happening is you're superheating your brakes. You're fusing and melting your brake pads, and you're warping your rotors. Anyway, Trump, the reason he's going to be successful, one reason, is that in his genius, by just taking the foot off the brakes, which is one of the things he's doing here, we'll stay in the automotive metaphor, he's going to intervene in California to override California's efforts to kill the automobile industry and let Californians drive the same kind of cars that the rest of us drive. And this is going to just be a tremendous boost to the American automobile industry, to California, to the whole nation. But now let me give you the funny part of my story. So I, halfway, where was I when I finally observed this phenomenon? I was somewhere like in New Mexico or Texas. I'm driving through the middle of the night and my brakes are dragging. And so it's a powerful car. It's a powerful motor in a Camaro. And so I can sense it. You know, something's wrong here. I'm cruising on the straightaway and I'm having to use too much accelerator here. It feels like I'm going uphill, but I'm on the straightaway, on the flat. So, you know, somewhere out in the middle of New Mexico in the pitch black dark. And then I also noticed, you know, I think I'm smelling brakes here. And of course I was big time. So I pulled my car over. It's all quiet and dark out there. And as soon as I get out of my car, I go, oh my God, because I'm not kidding. If I had taken a copy of The Art of the Deal out of my glove compartment and sat down next to either of my front wheels, I could have read the book by the glow coming off of my rotors.
I think that you allowed me to pull a Columbo, and I helped you win my argument for me right there. That's okay. Exactly what I'm talking about.
Okay.
See,
well, hey, Robert,
our economy has already gotten to the glowing red mark, and there's nothing Trump is going to do to be able to help us. I mean, he's going to do his best to stave off disaster for as long as possible, and I encourage everybody to prepare during that period. But I don't know if you've read the Bible, James, but we're not going to win this here on this dirt. See, we're going to have to wait for an intervention, and that is how this is going to go. And Trump ain't going to save us. Nobody's going to save us, but I'm really glad that he bought us some time because I needed it. I'll bet you needed it. I'll bet most of our listeners need it.
Yeah. Well, Robert, and hey, buddy, thank you very much. Appreciate
yeah,
it.
No,
that was
you
fun.
Have a great night. I'm going to let you go.
That was a fun exchange. All right. Thank you, Robert. All righty.
Yes, sir.
I think actually we get our brakes fixed, which is what Donald Trump's doing constantly. And he's doing it by the thousands of regulations are coming off. Regulations you and I will never even hear about. Things that Donald Trump is doing and that his subordinates are doing to free the American colossus, to free the incredible ingenuity and energy of our nation. Donald Trump is so right about that. The Obama people, well, a good way to portray it, let's bring it back to Elizabeth Warren versus Donald Trump. Elizabeth Warren has signed on big time to the Green New Deal. Wonderful. Thank you, Elizabeth. Thank you very much. What can we say? What's an Indian war whoop? What is the Indian war whoop? I'll brush up on these things. She has signed up on the idea that we're going to, you know, stop eating red meat. We're going to stop driving cars so much. We're not going to, you know, use the planes. We're going to destroy the fossil fuel industry. Wow. Getting rid of the fossil fuel industry. That's the America, end of American, the American economy. That's the end. And that's just a start. She's also signed up on the delusional global warming hoax, something that's not happening, terrible, non-existent science. So with Donald Trump, he's got the easy, well, not the easy job, but he's got the natural job, which is just take the restrictions off. Take these incredible bureaucratic, well, I gave you the example of schools. One of Donald Trump's first orders, an executive order, 95 days into his presidency. I remember it was April of 2017. He instructed the Department of Education, all of its employees, all of its departments, and all of them in the huge education department. He said, leave those kids alone. Remember that song by help me, engineer. Leave those kids alone. And Donald Trump was telling the education department, let the local schools, that is the American tradition, that's local schools are local schools. And of course, it's also the constitutional tradition. The Constitution says nothing about the federal government supervising education in any manner. There's nothing in that. And remember, is it the 10th Amendment, which says all power is not specifically delegated to the national government are reserved to the states and citizens respectively. Oh yeah, Donald Trump read that 10th Amendment and believes in it. So education is a local function. So Donald Trump, by doing that a thousand times over, is unleashing the American economy, which is an example of really just taking your foot off the brake. You know, and those rotors will cool down. Just keep going through that New Mexico night. Let that cool air cool your rotors down. Just hope they're not too warped. And everything will return. All of a sudden, that Camaro will be humming along. like a slippery watermelon seed through the night air. All righty. Let's go to the president himself. Let's see what he's tweeting to us right now. His most recent tweet, here he is. He tweets the interview of Joe Biden. Listen to this. Let's see if I've got this audio. We all saw this today on the news. Here's Joe Biden making an ass of himself.
Overseas news. I went over, I guess, the 12th, 13th time to Kyiv. Why is he on the phone with a foreign leader, trying to intimidate a foreign leader? And I had gotten a commitment from Poroshenko and...
Oh, now this is great, folks. This is what the president has done, genius that he is. Somebody has put together a video in which Joe Biden, this week, excoriating the president for even having a phone call with the president of Ukraine. With earlier video of Joe Biden at a Council of Foreign Relations, Council on Foreign Relations get together, where he's bragging about the fact that he threatened the head of the Ukraine that unless they ended the investigation of his son Hunter, he would make sure that, and he was vice president, billions of dollars would be withheld from Ukraine. And let me see, I hope the president, folks, I'm just hoping that the president got the right video here, because in this video, here's what, well, let me play it. Let's see if he says it. Some choice words from Joe Biden that rhyme with SOB. Here it goes.
From Yatsenyuk that they would take action against the state prosecutor, and they didn't. You should be asking him the question. And I said, we're not going to give you the $1 billion. They said, you have no authority. You're not the president. The president said, I said, call him. This appears to be an overwhelming abuse of power. I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion. You're trying to intimidate a foreign leader. I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Oh, son of a bitch.
Yeah. There it is. Well, son of a bitch.
Fired. And everybody's looked at it and said, there's nothing there. Ask the right question.
Mr. Vice President, how many times have you ever spoken to your son about his overseas business dealings?
I've never spoken to my son about his overseas business dealings. I went over, I guess, the 12th, 13th time to Kyiv. Why is he on the phone with a foreign leader, trying to intimidate a foreign leader? And I had gotten a commitment from Poroshenko and from Yatsenyuk that they would take action against the state prosecutor, and they didn't. You should be asking him the question. And I said, we're not going to give you the $1 billion. They said, you have no authority. You're not the president. The president said, I said, call him. This appears to be an overwhelming abuse of power. I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion. You're trying to intimidate a foreign leader. I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Oh, son of a bitch. Got fired. And everybody's...
Okay, sorry to play that twice, but it's a gem. Because Joe Biden, really, I mean, with the Hunter Biden escapades of total corruption, Joe Biden, I mean, they're one of two alternatives. They're both wonderful. Either he's totally taken himself out of the race in 2020, or B, which is okay. B, which might even be better, that if he were to be the Democrat nominee, he would just simply be, his campaign would simply be devastated by the facts of the corruption of the Biden family. It's wonderful. And I love that. See, Donald Trump got it. And I call him the greatest journalist we have. He got that quote. Donald Trump, somehow he went through the news and he found that quote where he says, "Well, son of a bitch, they fired him." And that's the moment of truth. That's where Joe Biden is showing his real self. And that's the moment that everybody's going to not show on, I guarantee you, lamestream news. I would just swear to it that no news station other than Fox played that part where he says, "Son of a bitch, they fired him." And he thinks it's so funny. And he's at the Council on Foreign Relations. He's, you know, which is the belly of the beast. They're at one of their big seminars. He's sitting up on the stage as the vice president. Well, I don't know if he's the vice president at the time, but I don't know the date of that meeting. But that's Joe Biden hanging himself, and Donald Trump caught it. Beautiful. What a incredible newsman he is. Now, here's another one. Here's another tweet of the president, and I don't know what this one is about, so I'm going to play it just to find out what it's about. There must be something really good about it. He gives no commentary. He just puts it up. Let me just find it here. Here it is. Let's listen. It's short. 39 seconds.
I just can't believe you're gonna lose.
Yeah. Barack Obama will be reelected president of the United States.
Plan B, plan C, plan D, now gone. And so you start looking at the Romney math and you're saying, well then, what's plan E?
Tears in a gloomy atmosphere as supporters left the convention center in Boston following Romney's concession speech.
Okay, so this is a video that's covering the defeat of Mitt Romney. And we'll have to listen to it to see why did Donald Trump put it up. Mitt Romney, of course, is one of the premier never-Trumpers. He's a pathetic worm who tries to undermine our greatest president. Let's listen to it. But what's significant here is this is not just any old video located somewhere on the internet. Donald Trump put it up.
It's a race, I have to say, folks, that should have been won.
I wouldn't call anything encouraging for Hillary Clinton at the moment, to be honest with you, my friend.
Hillary Clinton has called Donald Trump to concede the race.
President of the United States of America, Donald Trump.
Okay, so what this video was, that must have been confusing for you because a lot of it was video, visual and not audio. But what the president was doing there, he was contrasting the ignominious Mitt Romney defeat in 2012 with the triumphant Donald Trump victory in 2016, how Donald Trump did so much better than Mitt Romney. And it's a way of saying, hey, Romney, please sit down, please. You know, you had your chance and you blew it big time. Don't lecture the guy who won big time. Now, here's another news story I want to convey to you today. This was really something. I try to avoid watching, failing to remember his name. He's such a loser. What's the name? Shepard Smith. Hard name to remember, Smith. And Shepard Smith today, one thing I noticed about him, while he was delivering the speech as a newsman, he was actually giving a speech to the camera. He wasn't being a newsman. He isn't a newsman. He's an operative for the deep state. I noticed he was going so far out there on the limb. One of his hands was shaking. I swear, you can see it in the video. One of his hands is shaking. He's peeing in his boots. He is afraid as he delivers this attack on Donald Trump. And the attack is centering on the latest hoax, the Ukraine witch hunt. And Shepard Smith, he just goes in hog wild. Donald Trump is a traitor. Donald Trump has humiliated America. He has done the worst thing any president has ever done in his phone call in his phone call with the president of Ukraine, which phone call, we have no idea what was said in it. And we know that Shepard Smith has no idea what was said in it. But nevertheless, he's willing to assert with his hands shaking in utter terror. Because here's what Shepard Smith knows. Donald Trump tweeted that Shepard Smith is the worst about a week ago. He said lowest ratings. He's terrible, Shepard Smith. Donald Trump called Shepard Smith, to use Joe Biden's phrase, an SOB. Shepard Smith thinks he can fight back. Good luck, Shep. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, this is very important information. What's to be said about CBD? AncientLifeOil.com. Our CBD is made from hemp and has 0.003 THC, which means this wonderful product won't get you high. No matter what amount you take, what does CBD do for the body? My hands are tied, but you can Google CBD benefits and be astounded. When you're finished reading, you'll want to log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. And purchase. Life is good when you feel good. People are tired of pain. People are asking for non-GMO organic products to help them with, you fill in the blank. Legal in 49 states, and again, our CBD is made from hemp. Ancient Life Oil is about helping people, one by one by one. If you wonder how good the product is, the CEO takes it every day without miss. AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Have a great day.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix the problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We're back, folks, and we're in our last segment. We're going to go to Ken in New York in just a moment, but I want to give you another little gem that appeared today. The president was meeting with the leader of Pakistan. I believe his name is Khan, and handsome guy, anyway, and really impressive man. Anyway, Khan and the president, they had chemistry. It was so obvious, as it was with Prime Minister Modi, but there was chemistry between Khan and Trump. And so at one point, Donald Trump, he said, he's talking about Barack Obama. He said, There's only one thing I ever agreed with Barack Obama on, and that was when he got the Nobel Peace Prize in 2009, he didn't know why. There was no reason. Oh, and Trump was talking about, he says, if I can resolve the Indian-Pakistan dispute in Kashmir, I would deserve a Nobel Peace Prize. And he certainly would. And he offered his services as a mediator to try to help Khan and Modi sort out the more than half century long battle, really, in Kashmir between Pakistanis and Indians. Anyway, that was a funny. Oh, the great thing was this. When Trump said Barack Obama didn't know why, he couldn't figure out why he got a Nobel Peace Prize, Khan laughed. Khan laughed, the head of Pakistan. It was wonderful. It was a wonderful moment of men letting their hair down and letting you know what they really think. And Trump and Khan agreed that, hey, Obama didn't do anything to earn any Peace Prize. And this is only, you know, he was nominated 11 days after he assumed office. I mean, come on, he hadn't done anything. But he was black, so that was all he needed to be, really, to get the Nobel Peace Prize from the politically correct idiots of the Nobel Committee in Oslo for the Peace Prize. We're going to run out of time. Ken, are you there in New York?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, Ken, I'm sorry to run you right up against the clock. What's on your mind? A quick thought.
Well, I think that he should start paying attention to Julian Assange because they're over there turning him into a vegetable. John was talking about a story where there's a report that he's being interrogated with psychotropic drugs.
Oh, my gosh. You know, okay, Trump, no, I missed that. I missed John's show on that. Where is Assange being held right now?
Well, he's still in, I believe he's still in a British prison, but he's not there because of anything that he's done anymore. It looks like he's just being interrogated. And, you know, Trump did get some mileage out of him during the election. I think it would be nice to return the favor.
Okay. I would agree. Okay. I shame on me for not keeping up on the fate of Julian Assange. I'll look it up as soon as we close the show here. I'll look up Assange. Thank you, the audience, you out there in the audience collectively know 100 times more than I know. And thank you for, you know, bringing your wisdom to the airwaves. Ken, thank you for that. Come back again tomorrow night. You or any of our other callers, we'll see you tomorrow night in the Trump Clubhouse. So long for now.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, domedan at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.